virtual fall retreat. We had 50 junior, senior high students, and we were at a place called Camp Hebron. Camp Hebron is located on about 350 or 400 acres of woodland right up against the Appalachian Trail in Pennsylvania, just a beautiful area. Now, a young mom that I will call Jane this morning had asked if she could join our youth ministry staff. And as was my practice, I said, you know, I think it's good just to come and kind of just sort of experience what it's like to be around students. And so she came on that retreat as sort of a, let's get to see what this is like. Well, her husband was called into work unexpectedly at the last minute. So instead of backing out, she asked if she could bring her two younger elementary school age children. And I said, sure. Now, that Friday night, we got started up, and we had pizza, and then we had pizza, and then we had a little more pizza. We drank gallons of soda. We had games. We sang songs. We had a devotional to kick off the weekend, and we had a time of prayer. Now, Jane was going to be one of the adult chaperones and had a small cabin with 10 junior high girls in it, in addition to her two children. But early in that evening, while we were still kind of doing our thing, she took her two children out to that little small, out in the middle of the woods in the dark cabin to sleep, to go to take and put them down for bed. And then 2.5 hours later, they were joined by 10 very ramped up, excited 7th and 8th grade girls. The next morning, Jane came in with two very tired and cranky children, and she walked right up to me and demanded that we needed to talk, and I mean like right now. So we went to the side, and she informed me that those 10 girls had walked into that cabin late at night, and they were talking, they were giggling, and then they started jumping around. She had told them in no uncertain terms that they were to stop, and they just sort of looked at her because they really had no idea who this lady really was. And she said they ignored me, and they kept talking, and they kept giggling, and they kept jumping around. Now, looking at me, she said, "You're the youth pastor. What are you going to do about it?" Well, I stifled a smile, and I kindly and gently told her that talking, giggling and jumping around is sort of what junior high girls just do. We talked some more, and I said, you know, I'm going to suggest something to you. Why don't you and your children go ahead into this empty cabin that's available, and you just sleep there tonight. There's another adult that can stay with the girls. And you and your kids, this beautiful area, there's trails, there's a lake, you just go have fun this weekend. You can come and go with us as you want, but you just enjoy your kids. And then when we get back, why don't we set up a conversation between you and the children's director? Because I really think that's a better fit, that you're better suited and you're better gifted to work with children. And so that's what she did. And then she met with the children's director, and that led to her working with children for the next number of years at that church. See, here's the thing. At that time, I really needed junior high staff. However, it was a lot more important that Jane serve in the ministry that God had gifted her for. And so that's something that's true for all of us. As we're going to see this morning, God has gifted us and given desires in our heart to fit into a place of ministry within this church body where our gifts will be used and we will find joy in the serving. As wonderful as it was to see her go into children's ministry, I said, okay, God, now I do need some junior high workers. And the Lord provided. And over the course of the next year or so, there was a staff that came in the place of junior high workers that were effective and that were still working with junior high kids when Denise and I left the church 4 years later. God has given every believer spiritual gifts and natural talents that he wants you to use to serve other people in ministry. It's part of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. And then he gives us an interest and a desire to serve in a certain area. Maybe it's a certain ministry. Maybe it's with a certain age group. Or maybe it's with believers. Or maybe it's with people who don't yet know Jesus. But there's a place that our heart begins to move toward in ministry. And then God presents opportunity to serve in the ministry that he's gifted us for and given us a desire to pursue. Now, last week in Acts chapter 6, we saw the approach that the apostle used to diffuse and resolve the issue of the Hellenist widows being neglected in the food distribution. And we saw that because of that approach, unity is preserved in the church, and the church then continues to move forward and to grow. Well, this week, we're back here in Acts chapter 6, and now we're going to look at the solution. We saw the approach, but what was the solution? How do they actually meet this ministry need? And it's simply this: people serving in ministry. The solution to any ministry need in any church is the availability of people to serve in ministry. And so let's go ahead into this passage again, and we're going to walk through it again, but we're going to see this week five things about people serving in ministry. And the first is this. First is this. We need to recognize the ministry needs that God is calling us to meet as a church. We need to recognize the ministry needs that God is calling us to meet as a church. Here in verse 1 of chapter 6, reading it again, it's that now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists rose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now here's the thing. If you remember from last week, God has revealed in Scripture, he's given a mandate in Scripture in both the Old Testament and the New Testament that his people take care of widows. It's a biblical ministry. It's a biblical mandate. And so when this need is brought to the attention of the apostles, they know immediately they need to address it because God's given this to them as a mandate. This is something God's people do. And so we start at the same place. We ask the question, what are the ministries that God has called us to in Scripture? What are the ministries that are common to all churches, all body of believers? And we saw that when we were in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. We saw that every church needs to be teaching the Bible. And we need to be teaching the Bible from young children all the way through senior saints. It's what churches do. Every church is called to pray. We gather together and we pray together just like we did last week at the prayer gathering. And we had a great turnout for that. And I trust that those of you who were able to join us really were blessed by that time of praying together. And that you'll come back out next time we do it, because we're going to be doing that periodically over the next several months. But churches do that. We gather together and we pray. We encourage families to pray because there is power in the family when it's praying together. And also, we are growing in our own individual prayer lives. And so churches pray. We teach the Bible. We pray. Churches do life together in what we call fellowship or community. And in a church body, that takes intentionality. That takes some planning so all of us can join in together on experiencing community and fellowship together. All churches worship. That's what we're doing here this morning. We gather together in the name of Jesus and we worship him and the Father. And then we all share in mission. We all have the same mission to share the love and gospel of Jesus Christ as we live our lives as his witnesses. And then through our extended missionary family, we extend that mission out to the world. All churches do these things. And so then you have to ask the question, this is our ministry grid. We can say, what areas of ministry do we need to be developing as a church? Or I suggest to you that these five serve really well. But then you ask the question, But what has God called and gifted Grace Bible Church to do specifically? How are we going to meet these broader ministry needs as a church? Because there's a variety of ways that you can structure Bible teaching. There's a variety of ways you can structure fellowship. There's a variety of ways that you can structure praying. And so, how are we to do it here? And we ask the Lord, what are the specific ministries that you're calling us to do and do well? What are you calling us to do and to do well, to do with excellence? Now, it's really important that we do this because this is a fact. We cannot do everything that we think we need to do. No church can. If we were to gather from this whole congregation everything you think we need to do, we cannot possibly do all of it. And so that's why we hit the pause button, and that's what we're doing a bit, and we go to the Lord together as a church family, and we say, okay, Lord, show us, what are you calling us to do as a church family? What are the ministries that we are to be doing and be doing them with excellence, doing them well? You know, one of the challenges that churches across the United States are facing post-COVID is staffing ministries. It is a problem nationwide. Makes sense because attendance is down, and so is the available list, if you will, of potential workers in churches. But while there are those that think that's a bad thing, I may be different, but I think it's an opportunity. Because the church has this unique opportunity in which we can reset and refresh. We've got a blank slate in which we can ask the Lord, fill the slate, fill the picture, and we can refresh with a new season of ministries that meet these basic broad areas. We will meet these ministry needs just like this church has always done, but we may do it in a way that is very different than what we've done before. And that's okay. In fact, that'll be necessary because we're living in a different world and a different time than we were even just 3 years ago. And so that's why, as a part of what we're going through, like I said this morning, we are doing an assessment, because if there's one question that this interim period is designed to answer for Grace Bible Church, it's this. What has God called and gifted Grace Bible Church to do in this next season of life and ministry? Because what God has called us to do, He has provided the gifted people to get it done. And so we're asking that question, and that's why the assessment is all about saying, Lord, where are we right now? Then, and as we move into the beginning of the year, we're going to go and we're going to have a time of discernment. We're going to ask the question, Lord, where are you taking us? What is Grace Bible Church going to look like in 5 years? And then we need direction. We will ask the question, Lord, what are the first steps forward? And so we're assessing, then we're going to be prayerfully gaining discernment, and then we will set some direction. And as we do that, we will begin to recognize the ministry needs that God is calling us to meet. And we'll do it together as a church family. So that's the first thing that we see here. The second thing is this. Leadership disciples and equips people. The primary role of leadership in the church is to disciple and equip people. Look at verse 2. It says that the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." We saw again last week that the apostles do not just step in and begin to meet this need themselves. As much as that might have crossed their minds, the easy way for them to resolve this issue is just dive in there and take care of it. You know, they could have put something into place, at least short term, but they don't do that. It's not that serving widows is beneath them. It's that they know Jesus has given them the responsibility to teach and to pray. And out of that, they are discipling and they're equipping other people. Leaders disciple, they help people grow in their walk with the Lord, and they equip them to serve effectively in ministry. We see Paul expands this in Ephesians chapter 4, and if you keep a finger in Acts 6 and turn to Ephesians 4, we're just going to glance in there for a moment. In Ephesians 4, in verse 11, it says that, "And he," that is God the Holy Spirit, "gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ." And so leaders disciple, they help others grow in their relationship with God and mature, and then they equip them to serve effectively in the ministry that God has called them to. Now, when leaders are doing this, when they're free up and they're focused on doing discipling and equipping, then the rest of this passage in Ephesians begins to describe what happens in the church. The first thing that begins to happen in the church is that we are unified in our biblical understanding of Christ and faith. Look at verse 13. Again, staying here in Ephesians 4, it says that, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God." So we grow unified in our biblical understanding of Christ and our faith. A second thing is the church grows and matures in Christlikeness. Notice in verse 13, "to mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." The third thing that happens is the church is strong in biblical knowledge and discernment. Verse 14, "so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes." Then the church grows together in love. Verse 15, "rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly," that is to say, when everybody is serving in their God-given ministry, "it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." The only thing that we're told about the leadership here is that they disciple and equip. Then the church begins to grow and begins to nurture itself so that the church is unified in its understanding of Jesus and faith. The church is growing maturely and becoming Christ-like. The church is strong in biblical knowledge and able to discern. The church grows together in love because each member of the church family is doing his or her part. And all of this is an act of love. Every ministry that we do is an act of love to one another. Because every act of ministry, no matter what it is helping us grow in all of these ways. And so, it's not that leaders don't serve in ministry roles. They absolutely do. But it's leaders need to have the space, time, and energy to make sure that they're discipling and equipping so that the body is building itself up in love. The third thing that we see going back to Acts chapter 6, this is a church family that's ready to serve. This church family is ready to serve. Look at verse 5. "And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose." Again, the leadership, the apostles have made it clear, we're not the ones who are going to step in to address this need. We don't have the time. And so they tell the church family, "You find the needed people from within yourselves. We're not stepping in. You find the needed people from within yourselves." And I love the response. They're pleased. They're pleased. The idea of "they're pleased" means with energy and enthusiasm, they begin to choose, whatever that process was. The seven men who are going to do this ministry from within their own congregation. You see, they've been discipled and equipped, so now they're ready to serve. When there is a God-given need of in a ministry within the church, the needed people and resources are also available within the church. And so that's why we pray and ask God to raise up the people that we need. because we know in faith they're here. In Scripture, in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That's primarily talking about evangelism. I want to own that. That's a missionary passage, an evangelism passage, but it applies to ministry in the church as well. We need laborers within the church body for the ministries of the church. And so we pray for God to raise them up because we know you're here. For every need that needs to be met within the church, he has provided gifted people to meet it. And so we pray. But when you pray, be really careful. You never know when you're going to be God's answer. Some of you understand. Yeah. The next thing is people are spiritually equipped to serve. People here are spiritually equipped to serve. In verse 3, they lay out this criteria. They lay out the qualifications for the people that are going to serve in this ministry of distributing food to widows. It says they are to be men of good repute, full of the Spirit, and full of wisdom. Good reputation just simply means this. When we have a good spiritual reputation, it's just this. We're walking with God. That's all a good reputation means. I'm walking with God. And the evidence of God working in my life is seen in the way that I live my life. And so my reputation reflects my walk with God. And so to say they have a good reputation simply means these are men that clearly are walking with God. Their life demonstrates it. Secondly, they're full of the Spirit. That means they're yielded to God. They're yielded to God, which means they're gifted, available, and ready to serve. And they're full of wisdom. They've been equipped to serve. See, these seven have learned from the apostles how to serve. They've been watching and observing. The apostles learned from Jesus how to serve. And they were watching and they were imitating. And that process has been happening now for 2,100 years. One generation of workers teaching the next generation of workers how to serve well. Out of a walk with God, available and yielded to God, with having been equipped to do ministry. And one generation follows the next. And so as we're walking faithfully with God and making ourselves available to God, then God determines where and how he's going to use us. Two of the men of note in this list of seven, just as almost a side note here, Stephen is an effective evangelist and fantastic apologist who is going to become the first Christian martyr pretty shortly here. And Philip, who's listed as an evangelist who will take the gospel to Samaria, and then he's going to witness to an Ethiopian official that he meets on the road, who then that official takes the gospel to his African country, and then later Philip's daughters are going to be prophetesses in the church. And then finally, the fifth thing, people are affirmed and empowered to serve. People are affirmed here and they're empowered to serve. In verse 6, it says that these seven, they set before the apostles and they prayed and laid their hands on them. That's affirming and that's empowering. You see, the congregation and apostles, by bringing them forward before the entire congregation, is affirming these men are called and gifted to serve in this ministry. That's why it's always good to be sensitive and open to what other people might see and affirm in you and your gifts and in your serving. There are a lot of times when God speaks to us through the people around us who know us. The apostles give the men the resources and the authority then to do their ministry. That's what the laying on of hands is. Laying on of hands symbolized the fact that the apostles have been given authority by God, and now the apostles in their authority is giving these men the authority to do their ministry. And so the entire congregation understands the plan that these men put together to feed the widows, you follow. Because they're doing it in our authority, and our authority as leaders of the church comes from God. And then finally, the apostles and the people, and perhaps most importantly, they pray over the men in their ministry. They take a moment to pray over the men in their ministry. I think it's really powerful, and we probably will do this before too much longer as the Lord takes us through this process, that when someone agrees to serve in an area of ministry, I don't care what it is, it's great to bring them before the congregation, for leadership to lay hands on them, and we pray and give them the authority and the place to do the ministry that they've been given. And we do it as a congregation and church family. And so they are affirmed and they are empowered to serve. And the church moves forward. And the word of God continued to increase in verse 7, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. When I was still a youth pastor, I was trained in an organization called Sun Life Ministries. And they used to tell us that when we were recruiting our volunteer staff, we should be looking for fat people. So they say, always look for fat people. Well, FAT stands for faithful. Faithful, that is people that love God and are growing in their relationship with Him. They are available. They understand that God has gifted them to serve, and they're available to step in the ministry, and they are teachable. They are willing to be equipped to do that ministry at the utmost effectiveness and to grow. And so they're fat. Now, I'm not sure that "we are looking for good fat people" was the most effective recruiting slogan we ever used. But it does speak to the description of a faithful servant. Faithful in your walk with God, available for serving, and teachable to be equipped. In the beginning of the message, I mentioned that God has given every believer spiritual gifts and talents that He wants to be used in ministry, that He gives us an interest and desire to serve in a certain area and then presents opportunity. And in a few months, you're going to be hearing about a process we're going to have in the spring to discover that ministry that God's gifted and called you to. And I'd encourage you to plan on being a part of that when you hear about it. And in the months ahead, we're going to be asking God for that discernment to see the ministries that He wants us to be doing here and be doing well here at Grace Bible Church. And so, be ready to be faithful. Be ready to be available. And be ready to be teachable. One of the individuals that God provided back at Grace Bible Church for our junior high staff was this 50-year-old, quiet, gentle machinist named George. His wife was a professional writer and had been a teacher for many years, but George was quiet, he was kind of hung back, and he really wasn't overly involved in much of anything. But I got to know George through his wife, Shirley. The Lord laid on my heart to ask George to take our three-month Check It Out tour of junior high ministry to see if this was something that God was calling him to do. And there were a number of people who thought I was just absolutely crazy. 50-year-old, quiet, never says anything, George, with junior hires? Really? Well, George was faithful. He had a quiet but deep walk with God. He was available and willing to check this out, and he was very teachable. He also became one of the most effective junior high leaders I've ever known. George was never the upfront leader, because oftentimes the upfront leader is not the real leader of the group. No, George was a discipler. And literally, dozens and dozens of junior high boys learn how to walk with Jesus because they got to know George Eby. And years later, including just last summer, I've had a chance to come up with students now in their mid to late 40s, And unsolicited, one of them said at a wedding Denise and I did for one of our former students last summer, "I still love Mr. Eby." And George has been with the Lord for over a decade now. God loves doing that. So what has God gifted you to do? What is God stirring in your heart to do? Be ready and be available. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for all those who have been involved in ministry to us. God, many of us from childhood or at some point in adulthood have had pastors and Sunday school teachers and mentors. And it just goes on and on. The people that provide this wonderful worship space and keep it clean, those that are involved in all the different ways as we gather, whether it's in worship or at the soundboard, and God, the list just goes on of how we get served by each other within this body. And we have been served throughout our walk into life with you. And so as we thank you for all of them, we now pray for ourselves that we might be in that group who lovingly serves others with the gift and talents and opportunities that you provide. As you open up for us the discernment that we're going to need to see the direction that you are calling us to take as a church, may every single one of us now be ready, and may all of us be available to the place you have for us in this next chapter of the journey of Grace Bible Church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.